ending story. It has a happy ending. Oh, okay.
Sponsored by Come Get It Records 2012. We support Brian the Hammer Jackson, and so should you.
Hi, this is Sally Christian, and I'm on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson, and I do want to have his baby.
Good morning, everybody. It's Brian Hammer Jackson. Sometimes reality sucks, and my computer froze up. I was a little late. I'm here. I didn't think I was going to be here, but I'm here. Good morning, everybody. I can't see the board. Diane, we're having technical difficulties, but we're going to get right through it. I want to introduce, we're going back to our roots today. Our roots started with independent actors, producers, directors, just trying to get notice. And our show was a hub for them to, you know, get their name out there and everything. We're going to interview some very, very great people. I had everything all set up. I had bios set up, had sound bites set up. I had everything set up. And we're going to introduce a new show, reality series called Trailer Trash Wars. I even had that cute. It usually goes like this, Trailer Trash Wars. But you're not going to hear it till tomorrow because I had it all cute. Diane, are you here?
Yes, I'm here. And Carrie.
Carrie's here too. How you doing, Carrie? Hi, Diane. I'm going to introduce Diane. She's Diane and Jeff Bertrand. They are our board supervisor. They will handle all things board. You got to go through them to talk to me. And if you're not interesting, they will kick your ass off. Right, Diane?
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. Right, Jeff?
She rules with the iron fist.
And we call her Slippy Fist. Want to make sure you behave yourself. Get the slippy fist. Welcome, Jeff. And Jeff and Diane are approaching. Diane's approaching 50. She's brave enough to say it. Jeff is approaching 52. He decided to be a gentleman. Don't let her go 50 by herself. So they're having a birthday party, which is the 3rd. Everybody on Facebook is invited, and the address, I'll give it to you after the show.
God. No, actually, my birthday is the 3rd. The party is the 6th.
Oh, the party's the 6th. Oh, shit. Okay, I was going to come to, I was come on the 3rd. I'm sure you will. Yeah.
Going to show up to that AARP buffet?
Oh, you got to, baby. It's the best. You get some of
those hot.
You know,
that doesn't begin until you're 55, don't you?
Oh, it doesn't begin until you're 55?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I want to welcome the hot-blooded, the ever-sexy, the master of disaster, the sexiness of production, Carrie Brooks. Hello, Carrie Brooks.
Oh, my God. I was waiting to see. Oh, my God. Who's this great person we have? Me? I don't think so.
Oh, I know so. I know so. Carrie. You guys all
see. Damn, I'm getting excited because I thought we were going to have a good person on. Oh.
Well, we are. We're getting really excited. Well, we have. Actually, we do. It's not just me. Not just me. You know, as I said, it's not just me. And I can hear how quiet it is, and they're absolutely right. It's. We have some great producers, film producers coming on here, and we got so much. I had everything so set to frickin' up. And everything is off my computer. I'm winging it, and I'm winging it, and I'm flying with a broken wing. I'm not even on my board. And when I introduce Kelly, who's yelling at me, I cry. Kelly Corbin, who keeps me level, organized, and things like this. As you can tell, she's not doing her job today. All right, you know, we're going to get right down to it. Diane brought up a little question about, you know, she's getting a little worried that she's turning 5-0. And as a woman, we all know it's death. But I'm here to tell you, it doesn't have to die. You can have fun with a woman in 50s, and I'll tell you what kind of fun you can have with a woman in her 50s.
I'll be right back.
Thank you. You can wait until she's ready. Are we having fun yet?
Oh, God, that was actually perfect timing.
I know. And this is the fun you're going to have until she's ready.
Oh, my God, we're in trouble.
I know it. And, of course, Kelly's given us a support. She just said, kiss my ass. It's Monday, everyone.
Were you talking about sports, or did you say support?
No, support is the 50.
Oh.
You're going to need a lot of, knowing you and the way your chest is built, you're going to need a lot of support, Carrie.
Yeah, I know.
Can you imagine?
My daughter's going to fit. She's saying, oh, my God, Mom, you're sagging clear to your knees.
Like, no.
Only when I sit down.
But that's kind of sexy, though.
Sure it is.
Yeah, I guess sag is only good in the movies in the union.
That's right.
All right, let's get to it.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, why not?
It's not on any subject whatsoever today.
Of course not, it's our show.
Did you see the news about that poor boy that got hurt from, who was it, Louisiana? Louisville? Yesterday?
I didn't get a chance to do it. This was, usually I will turn on CNN to get some information, what's going on, and talking points. No, what happened? He was in, this was going in the Final Four in basketball. They're in a tournament. Am I correct, Carrie?
Yes.
And
yeah,
what happened?
Right in the first 2 minutes of the game, I guess he's their star player.
Uh-huh.
Went up for a rebound and came down and shattered his leg.
That, oh, my God.
Stretcher.
Did he come back? It was awful, huh?
He broke his leg. He's done for.
Ooh. Ooh.
The only thing is now, you know, it's just kind of waiting since it was, you know, college basketball. You know, is he ever going to be able to play again? It was really quite horrendous.
See, that's what happens. That's what happens to sports people, you know what I mean? And, you know, one wrong rebound, one thing, and injury, even if he comes back, which you don't do, he will never be the same, and he will feel that the rest of his life. It's very dangerous. How did he come down? Did he come down on somebody, or he just came down the wrong way?
No, it was just this freak thing.
Wow.
There was nobody close to him when he came down. It just,
yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things, you know?
Yeah.
When he went down, you know, of course you never realized until, you know, after the fact how severe it was, but yeah.
And I bet you they showed it over and over and over again.
You know, they didn't. It took me a long time before I actually saw what happened because I had just missed it. I had a different, I was watching something else, and my son-in-law came in, you know, and he's like, oh, did you see? And it had just happened, so we switched over, and they were still, you know, putting him on the stretcher to take him out of the arena. But, you know, we kept waiting and waiting and waiting, and they never did show. Again, I had to wait and watch the 10 o'clock news to see it.
Hey, Brian, can you see the board yet?
Can I see the board? No, I can't.
Okay, your guest, Stephen, is here.
Okay. Stephen, just a second. I'll get right to you. And Stephen Koutos. Stephen is one of the filmmakers that's coming on the show. And Stephen, thank you. Let's see where Stephen's calling from. Let me see where Stephen's calling from. Stephen Koutos, welcome to the show, Brian and Hammer Jackson Show. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very well, sir. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're calling from what area?
Mississippi Gulf Coast.
I love Mississippi. I want to get right to you because I just realized at Blog Talk we do not have an 800 number and it's costing him money. Are you have enough minutes on your phone, Mr. Stephen Koutos?
I'm very well covered.
Okay, I just want to just say one thing. We're going to get right to you right away. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the great. I want to call you the director. All my notes went to put, Stephen, let me just see. Tell me if I'm wrong. This is going to be the director, writer, and producer, Stephen Doran Koutos. So he's a writer, director, and a producer. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Wow, you're a triple threat. All right.
That's the big three.
I know. Listen, you guys, we want to babble and everything, and I just want to say one thing. We got to get right to Stephen. I want to say one thing. I'm a movie fan, and I watched a movie last night. I don't know if any of you guys rented. It was a Brad Pitt movie called Killing Them Softly. I watched it. It's on Redbox. You can rent it. I recommend it. It's a great movie. It's a really good movie. But there was one soundbite in there that really was amazing to me. Every movie, and it reminds me of, you know, every movie has a tagline, a great soundbite. This one got to me, and I think it's so fantastic. I'm going to play this, and we'll get right to our guest, Stephen. Here it is. This is from Killing Them Softly. The scene is Brad Pitt has done a lot of killings. So now he goes to a bar, and he's talking to the guy, the chairman, who gives the orders to get paid. So now he wants to get paid. So that's the scene, and here's the soundbite. Great movie to recommend to rent. Kill Them Softly. Here we go.
You're a cynical bastard, you know that.
The American dream and reaffirm that fundamental truth that out of many we are one.
You hear that line? Line's for you. Don't make me laugh. We're one people. It's a myth created by Thomas Jefferson.
Oh, now you're going to have a go at Jefferson, huh?
My friend, Jefferson's an American saint because he wrote the words, all men are created equal. Words he clearly didn't believe since he allowed his own children to live in slavery. He's a rich wine snob who's sick of paying taxes to the Brits. So yeah, he wrote some lovely words and aroused the rabble, and they went out and died for those words while he sat back and drank his wine and fucked his slave girl. This guy wants to tell me we're living in a community. Don't make me laugh. I'm living in America, and in America you're on your own. America's not a country. It's just a business. Now fucking pay me.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I need fun.
Mr. Stephen Kutos, what do you think of that?
I love that movie. I think it's an excellent film, and I can't recommend it highly enough.
Oh, yeah. It's really great. What do you think of that line, sir?
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
What do you think of that that speech, what I call it a speech with Brad Pitt towards the end regarding America? It's a business, not a country.
Very succinct.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, probably pretty accurate.
Yeah. We have become a business, and people are just outraged of it. Let me describe my guest. Ladies and gentlemen, we are fortunate enough, if I can ever talk, to have the great Stephen Kutos here. We started Actors Breakdown for actors and producers and indie filmmakers to get a platform, and we got away from it for a while. When we come back home, and let me give you a little bio, and let's get down to it. We're not only going to be talking to the great Stephen Doran Kutos, we also are going to have a visit from Damien, who is our friend Jade Warren, and he's going to promote his film called Hero Punk. And we also have a person coming in talking about stalking. So, and I had my relationship counselor come in, and she said it's a bad day. I guess she's having a bad relationship that she can't make it. Anyway, we'll go on. Here we go, everybody. Stephen Doran Kutos, he's here to promote his feature film called Stain Glass Psyche.
Yes.
Kelly.
Stain Glass Psyche.
Kelly. When I mean wrist print, is I always blame it on Kelly. Stain Glass Psyche. It's an anthology horror art film. I love horror. Completely produced on the Mississippi Gulf Course. Oh, shit. Gulf Coast and by Gulf Coast residents.
Yes.
That's what we're going to do. Tell me a little bit about your film, Stephen. Let's get to
this. Yeah. Well, it's sort of an artistic horror film, and it's going to be an anthology horror film where there are individual stories within the main film, sort of in the tradition of those old classic Hammer films that would have three Edgar Allan Poe tales or H.P. Lovecraft tales like that. These are all original stories.
Okay. Detour. And you have a website. Would you please say your
website? Facebook page right now. It's just Stain Glass Psyche, the movie, on Facebook.
Okay. And what do you mean it's completely produced on the Mississippi Gulf Coast by Gulf Coast residents. Did you just go into the neighborhood and say, hey, look, we're going to do a film. You guys like to join in and be part of it as extras? Or did you charge them to be in the film?
No charging. This is all much a very communal effort on the part of there's a burgeoning Gulf Coast film scene going on right now since the film school has moved down to the Gulf Coast from Mississippi University. A lot of films are coming in here now, shooting and producing, because we offer some fairly nice tax incentives. And it's great for the community, but it's also important for the area to produce its own films and tell its own stories from the perspective of the people who actually live here. And that's what we wanted to do with this. Everyone who is involved in this film lives down here, has lived down here for a number of years, studied down here, and has made films down here before.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Now, is this independent, or are you... Let's just see where we are. I like to say we. Now... First question, are we in post-production or are the films complete?
We are in pre-production right now.
Oh, pre-production, okay.
Yeah.
Do you have a trailer?
Not yet.
Okay.
Trailer should be ready in a few months.
Are we at the stage of the writing is done, we're ready to cast? Right now this is
yes.
our... Okay.
The script is done and the film has been cast.
Oh, it has been cast. Great. Tell me some of your lead actors. Who are the stars of your movie?
Well, the stars, there's a very small ensemble film, only about four main characters, a husband and wife, a daughter, and a psychologist. The wife is played by Tamara Murley, who's also my co-producer on this film. She's an excellent actress. The male lead, the father, is played by Dan Saw. An actor I've worked with at my job where I direct television commercials. The part of the child is played by Isabella Tancredi, very, very gifted young actress. And the psychologist is played by Gayla DeGuise, who is an immensely talented actress that was brought to my attention by Tamara.
Oh, okay. Cool. Very cool. People don't understand how hard it is. I imagine, or I assume, this is an independent production.
Yes.
I assume once you start rolling and you get everything going that you're going to be looking for distribution.
Yes.
And I assume, how hard is it in the beginning to get funding? For just in pre-production, you need funding. I mean, just
yes.
How hard is it, and how hard, or are you still looking for funding?
We're pretty well funded.
Okay.
So we're not really looking for funding. This is actually the fourth feature film I've ever made.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned a lot from those three previous experiences. And really, I mean, I tell everyone the story. The first film I ever directed, we sold a house to get the budget for it. So, and the second film, I mean, that first film was actually shot on actual film. This was not a digital production.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to the fact that new cameras have come out that are affordable and actually produce a really good image, it has just cut out a huge amount of the budget.
Mm-hmm.
And so more of that can actually be put into the film and not just into buying film stock and transferring it and getting it developed. So that really helps.
I want people to really listen to what you just said. Your first film, he sold a house to make. And let me ask you, how much money did you make off your first film?
I made approximately, $0.
Exactly. I joined the choir, brother. I know what you feel because I did the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, and you sold your house.
Yeah. But I would like to say it was absolutely worth it. It was a learning experience. I was still in film school when I did it.
Mm-hmm.
I graduated. You know, I got out of film school, and I already had a feature film under my belt.
Mm-hmm.
So it was worth every penny.
Wow. Okay, that's your first time. Second time?
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Time
How did you get?
everything was so much cheaper without the digital, you know, without having to worry about film stock. And I mean, there's a whole host of problems. The lab can make a mistake and you lose all your footage. So the digital camera, which I use a Panasonic, it's very good. It's almost equivalent to 16 millimeter actual film. That just cut the budget down completely. And just I used people who were also in film school and things like that. And I ended up making a movie that didn't cost me very much at all. And what little it did cost me, I could spend over a period of months and not have to just shell out thousands of dollars all at once for the film stock.
And that's just making a movie. Now, dealing with the actors, that's another psychological drama.
Yes.
When you get an actress, and I went through this, I know what you're saying. When you get an actress say, hey, I got a great project, I want you to read, first thing they say, well, how much am I getting paid for this? This
yeah.
would make my head explode because they have no idea how much you're sacrificing, how much work you're putting in, hours and hours of work. You're giving them a chance. But then you get an actress,
yeah.
well, I don't work for free, and I don't think you should be for free. I looked on the internet, and they say people who don't pay us are bad people. I'm with the – I mean, come on. Did you run into the cycle actors?
I have been very lucky as to not run into many of them, if any of them. So I've been very lucky in that regard. I've mostly been surrounded by people who are passionate about the art. So, no, I haven't really had that much trouble. I've had a few prima donna actors and actresses, but they're more about how they look on the screen,
right.
how things are coming across, and that I can deal with.
Right. Right. How about the agents or the managers? How's have you had any bad experience with those people? Well,
I really haven't. It's great because I'm in a niche. You know, I'm still very much independent. I'm not, you know, a visible target, so to speak. So I don't get a lot of the problems, and it's kind of nice. There's a certain amount of freedom in being so low budget that you're under the radar, that it allows you to do things that larger scale production could never get away with.
Yeah. You know what I did? I always like to put my experience. I did the same. I came out of film school. Of course, I came out. Film school, I was happy. I was on a grant. We shot our stuff. We had a budget, blah, blah, blah. I thought everything was wonderful. I came out of film school. I wanted to do a short. It was a short. It was only like, 30-minute short. All of a sudden, I had no money. And they said, well, Brian, what do you want to do? I said, I want to do a nitty-gritty short. Okay, fine. I got my writers. They know me from film school, everything. Let's go, Brian. Let's do it. What do we need? We need homeless people. So we went right to Skid Row. We got real homeless people. And I said, okay, let's take the exterior shot. Let's do this. This is great. This is great. So I wanted a sex scene. So we started with the actresses. And then, you know, they came in. They go, oh, they look great. They got acting. And then I found out, okay, do you mind taking off your clothes? They go, why? Because it's what they're – well, and then they give you that bullshit. I hate when they do this. Well, if it's for the content of the movie, I will. If it's for the story, I mean, like, you have some reasoning. This is acting. So I said, you know what? You're a bubblehead. I'm not going to hire you. What we're going to do, Brian, I know what we can do. We got our money together with this true story. We had $75. And we went down and bought a hooker. And we went shopping. And some of these hookers pay a lot of money, so we went to get a crack hole because that's all we could afford. Well, it's true. We had to make a movie.
Yeah. And that's
right?
More real than that, so.
Exactly. Steven knows the shortcuts. So, we asked a crack hole. Crack hole, how much you charge? Well, I charge this for this. I go, we don't need that. How about if we just need your body and a butt shot, and I give you one line. Can you say that? Well, hey, you're going to be in the movie. Okay. So we got her for $15. But it was still an hour. You know how the hour is. You know how long it takes us to set up. I go, hurry up. We got to crack hole for an hour. We're setting up for 2 hours. What's wrong with you? I'm $30 over budget. So we finally completed it with the homeless people in the crack hole.
That's just good sound. Responsibility.
You got to do. You got to do whatever you got to do, right, Stephen? I mean, when you're making independent films, I mean, we used to do what we call, I don't know if they call it anymore, we did a lot of guerrilla work. Yeah. Do you do guerrilla work?
Absolutely.
Did you have the guy watch for the cops and then you run like crazy?
Oh, I mean, yeah, all kinds, you know, shooting in businesses and things like that, in purses and things. Yeah, you just have to.
You got to.
Oh, that bank? You got to do for your art.
Yeah. I would suggest this. Don't do guerrilla work in a bank.
Yeah, they get more. Not a good idea.
All right, so let's go back. So who wrote this story? Who wrote this story, Stephen? We're going back to the beginning.
Yes, I worked with a group of friends. In fact, my first film was a co-direction thing. It was two people, and he's one of the writer and directors. There are three stories, not counting the sort of framing device. I'm mostly responsible for the framing device and the organization of the individual stories. The individual stories are written by Wesley Scoggins, who's a friend I've known for 10 years, and we went to film school together. The second one is written by Matthew Turcott, who is another film school friend of mine, who I directed my first film with. And the third one is by Tony Arnold, who actually went into film school just as I was getting out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good, good. So you've been in the business for how long now?
Oh, let's see, since 2006.
Since 2006, you lost your house. Now, are you a drinking person?
No, I am not a drinker.
Okay. So
not
you read
yet.
A past...
Who knows what after the fifth film is.
But what possessed you? Did people around you say, are you crazy? The first time you lost your house, what's about the second time? You're going to lose your life? I mean, what kept you going?
It's just passion for making films. I mean, I love films and I love making them and I love having my own, images and thoughts, made concrete by making a film out of them.
Right, right. I understand. I have this same passion. It never goes away. So
So
now you have this film funded. You're, for all places, Mississippi?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That would be the last place, I would think. There was a joke. It was a joke. I think you know it. I saw a movie, and it says, "You're my Mississippi." And I forget the joke. Tell me if you remember, because I forget the punchline. The guy goes, "Why do you keep calling me your Mississippi?" Because people from Alabama hate Mississippi more than Alabama. So that was just another joke. Forget it. But Mississippi, I mean, how far is Hollywood from Mississippi? I mean, what school
not
did you come
from?
Not
as far as you can get.
I know.
What
school in Mississippi?
It's just the film department at the University of Southern Mississippi.
Oh, my God, that's even worse. You guys don't even have a basketball team.
Yeah.
I'm only kidding.
We used to play wall ball in between classes, so we were.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. Right outside the dean's office.
Okay, so now we're at the point. We found a little bit about Stephen. And the guy, and the reason we talk this way is you actors don't have an idea, a clue, of when you go to an audition and you talk to the director and finally you get to the producer and they're ready to say, hey, you know what, we're going to book you, and you say something stupid like, how much am I getting paid? A lot of you guys are still on Facebook because you asked that stupid question.
Yes, a lot of directors have died of heart attacks over there.
At independent films, you should kiss the director's feet because this gets you out there. This, without independent films, you people on Facebook will not get your faces out there. Be on film. The whole thing is about filmmaking, not about being Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
And here's the thing with independent films. You get your Bruce Willises and everything when they're past their prime. I'm not saying he is. They come back to indie films because this is where the good roles are. That commercial bullshit with this A-list films with dinosaurs and special effects is not acting. Yeah, so anyway.
True.
It's just in case
any of my actors are listening, I do not need my feet kissed. Just putting it out there.
Oh, don't kiss his feet, but you should kiss his ass.
Yeah.
Because they
need
a break.
The film's not finished filming yet. Don't turn them against me.
Yeah, it's a revolution. So what are you shooting on now? Are you shooting digital or are you shooting...
I shoot digitally now. It's not my favorite thing, but it's gotten to a place where it's doable and it looks fine. And I've gotten pretty good at the digital editing to make things look more and more like film.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to listen to you and we're going to get involved because your vision of your movie that we're going to see when it's all finished, we want to hear the story. We want to hear how the star, we bring us into your story right now. We're listening. Tell us about you. Tell us about how the story evolves. Who is the main character? What's going through everything? And tell us about your movie.
Okay. Well, the main story of the film is about a mother and father who have a daughter who is experiencing some kind of psychological problems, mostly related to a fear of a room in their house. She is just completely terrified of this space in the house, and the parents have gotten to the end of their rope, and they do not understand why she's so scared. They don't know how to help her. So they decide to take her to a psychologist, and the psychologist administers these tests that they usually give to children. I actually studied psychology before I studied film.
Mm-hmm.
This was my background. So they have a thing called a thematic apperception test, and that's where the doctor will hold up a card with a picture of a scene on it, and they will ask the patient, describe to me what's happening in this picture, or describe to me the events that led up to the event depicted in this picture. And that is what leads us into the individual stories in the film. Now, I don't want to give away too much about the individual stories,
right?
But one is, of course, about the father, one is central about the mother, and one is mostly about the child. And at the end of the film, it's the child's fears are sort of, let's just say at the end of the film, maybe the child's fears are not so much irrational.
Ooh. I like this. Is this a horror or a thriller? I mean, it sounds suspenseful to me.
Well, I mean, when I was a kid, horror films were my favorite thing in the world. As I got older, I kind of grew away from them.
Mm-hmm.
But, I particularly love those old horror films. I loved all the Universal horror films.
Mm-hmm.
I particularly loved those Val Lewton-produced horror films from the 40s and 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Like the original Cat People and things like that. So they're horror in the sense that there is suspense, there is thrilling, but it's mostly a deep sort of psychological, it's an atmosphere of horror.
Right.
And
right.
That I want to sustain, and that's where I want to put the audience very uncomfortable.
It's like Hitchcock, I mean, the master.
There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah. It was the psychological terror more than physical terror of some guy with a mask running around with a woman with big breasts, and they slow down the camera, and she's running very slowly, and I'm a very big fan of that. But other than that, it's the psychological horror. My best one, Wait Until Dark. I don't know if you guys ever saw that.
Yeah,
did you see that? Oh, man, that scared the hell out of me towards the end.
Audrey Hepburn.
Oh, my God, it was beautifully made.
Yeah.
So are you bringing that back? Because we need
it. I really want to do something that's not, gore-centric.
Right.
I want the horror to be inside the mind of the viewer, and I just want to sort of draw that out and then make them scared.
Oh, yeah. You know what's scary is Diane. She's our board producer. Diane, can you open your mic? Because this is great. You're talking to the great director, Stephen Kutos, here. Diane, I'm going to give him something. Diane? Well, anyway, she can't hear me because she's turning 50. But
stop it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with 50. But what's really scary is that you go into a creepy house and there's nothing but senior citizens who just turned 50 there. And they're eating flesh.
Oh, my God.
and the grandmas come out and they're zombie grandmas and they have no tops on. It would scare the hell out of me, Steven.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to pay them for being in the film.
Exactly. And that's what I'm going to get. I'm going to get my extras with dementia, and I don't even have to pay them.
Yeah, just lead them on strings.
Exactly. See, I love this guy. This is what filmmakers do.
Well, what you do is you tell him, I paid you, don't you remember?
Exactly.
Yeah. Checks in the mail.
Checks in the mail. And then you get
which
these
address?
Old people.
Oh, I forgot.
You put a little bit of makeup and some wigs and these old people with curvature of the spines. You just have them walk across the street. You got a zombie movie.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Could be done for very little money.
You know, you and I think the same. I want to work on your next film.
Okay. You got it. I'll do that.
Well, you have the movie funded. Right now, you're promoting your movie. You have a cast. Did you begin shooting yet? When's your first shoot?
I'm the cinematographer on all my own films, so I do a lot of pre-production shooting to get sort of B-roll and things like that. We haven't done the main stuff yet.
Okay. And how about
go out and experiment?
Okay. And how about your lead actress? Is she sexy or is she kind of like a homey kind of girl, grandma kind of looking?
She is incredibly beautiful. Tamara is excellent, and she has helped me so much on just doing all the promotion for this film. In fact, it was her that helped me get this gig right here.
You should fire her right now. If she got you this gig, get her off the set right now.
No. I got it.
Her name is Tomorrow?
Tamara.
Oh, too easy. I'm trying to read. Okay. Anyway. I love the name, though. I love the name.
Yeah.
And I saw her on Facebook. She is a lovely lady.
She is.
And you know, and Stephen, you know as well as I do, you got to have a great crew behind you. You got to have great writing behind you. And when things go wrong, which it will every day, you got to have that rock. And it seems like she is that rock. And I got to have her on the show because she sounds like a nice person. I saw her on Facebook. Good morning, Tamara. I think I'm pronouncing your name right. But, Stephen, it's been great having you on. Before you leave, Carrie is a producer. And, Carrie, would you like to ask Stephen, the great Stephen Doran Kutos, a question?
You know, there's so many things that are coming to mind, but, you know, I totally agree with him, and I think the psychological thriller is far better than, you know, any other thing else, because that's how you draw everybody in to the point where they just can't do anything except sit there and watch it. And I just think that's awesome. I can't wait to see it.
Oh, thank you. I'll try not to disappoint.
Oh, yeah. We need it back. I mean,
yes.
We got to.
Thanks for the pressure.
Well, you have to be great, and we're waiting for you. You might be the chosen one.
I would like to be. So.
Now, Stephen, seriously, I mean, the movies have dumbed down our audience. Would you agree that most movies out there are for morons? I mean,
I could talk for hours about this, but I do believe that there has been a very steady decline in quality of just commercial films. You know,
sure.
It used to be even commercial films were pretty good, even if they weren't works of art. They were still entertaining, or they were moving, but now they're not.
It's like a lot of these franchises, it's like these recycled superheroes done in a different way. I mean, a story that is part four, part five, part six, part six. It's like I just gave up on original filmmaking. We did a good movie, and now we can go write six times, you know, part six, part seven, part eight.
Mm-hmm.
And one more question. How much does it take, and I'm going to ask you this question because I don't know if you know, I used to know. If you were going to do a feature film, commercial feature film, how much do you think it would cost to do a commercial feature film these days?
I mean, are you asking if you're spending your money wisely or just doing it
hard with that? A commercial, before it used to be, in the old days, if you did a short, it would cost you around maybe $500,000 to $800,000. And nowadays, a short will cost you something like $5.2 million to do.
Yeah, that's a bit ridiculous.
And now if you do a feature film, I mean, you're, you know, with Brad Pitt and all these people asking just $24 million just to appear in it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the big problem is actors with these front-loaded salaries, so the film's budget balloons to 10 times what it should be.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Look at something like, I mean, I'll use these since these were kind of revolutionary films, those early 70s films like Easy Rider, Five Easy Pieces, things like that. Those were each made for, like, in $1970 for $1 million apiece.
Yeah, and some wheat.
Inflation, that's what, 7 times now? Those movies each would cost $7 million now?
Exactly.
So I think you can make a film. If you can't make a film that is just actors telling a story that doesn't involve aliens and things like that for under $10 million, you're not a filmmaker. You're just burning money.
I agree. And do you agree that most filmmakers are now looking for merchandise instead of, and make, maybe they'll come up with the merchandise first and then they make the movie around the merchandise?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, how ridiculous is that?
Well, I used to notice that when I was a kid, there were toys out and then the TV show would come out.
Mm-hmm.
And wait a minute, that's not how it's supposed to work.
Exactly.
Well, that was because the toys were a hit. Okay, let's capitalize on that.
Yeah. And a lot of people use the money from the toys to make the film. So they figure that, you know, let's do the reverse thing, and now we have to be true to the toy.
Right. You have to. The integrity of the toy is central to the movie.
That's right. Before I let you go, I got to ask you this question. And this is a question I was talking to Diane about. Diane, will you please open up your mic? I want to ask you a question, Mr. Great Director Stephen Doran Koutos.
Huh?
There is a movie called, an animation called Toy Story. We all know that. Toy Story?
Love it.
Yeah.
Now, I want to say a word. Woody and Buzz, are these adult toys that they just slipped in and they're laughing at us because they want us to say, it's a Toy Story, Woody and Buzz? Come on.
Your interpretation.
Well, I mean, what other interpretation could it be? It's a Toy Story, Woody and Buzz. Let me ask the great director.
I think Disney is litigious.
It is. And you know what? They're the worst people to do business with. Did you hear the rumors? They are the worst people to do. They will shaft you. They will cut you open. They will not have mercy on your soul if you're a filmmaker. Don't answer that, or you'll never work again.
I don't want to throw the father before I grow up. So.
I might need money later. Yeah, that's true. Well, can you tell everybody where they can find you, your website, and
just on Facebook for right now, Stained Glass Psyche, the movie. I'm on there. There aren't a lot of Stephen Doran Koutoses out there, so I'm pretty easy to find.
And that's Koutos, K-U-T-O-S. Find them on Facebook, easy. What's your website, Stephen?
That's all I use for right now.
Oh, okay. And when can we expect the trailer, or can we?
Absolutely. That'll be done, I'm going to say it's April right now.
Okay.
End of May.
Well, we'd like you to come back to give us an update. We'd like to run your trailer. We'd like to promote you as much as we can. We want to wish you the best of luck. In the name of the film, I want you to say it first so I can mispronounce it later.
Okay. Name of the film is Stained Glass Psyche.
That's the name of the film. I say Stained Glass Psyche. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Stephen Doran Koutos, thank you so much, sir. And please look for him on Facebook, and please go to his website. We support independent filmmakers. You heard the story. It goes back to the psychological thriller. I love it. He is the chosen one in Mississippi.
Can I put that on the poster?
Oh, please do.
All
right. Thank you, sir. Unless Diane or Carrie has a question, the man is a busy man. Do you have a question?
No, this is Diane. I just look forward to seeing the film.
Well, before you look forward to seeing the film, Steven, she's just turning 50. What kind of audience are you reaching?
All kinds.
Demographics. Do you want a lot of 50-year-old ladies in there going, oh, Steven, and they write their name on your chest, on their chest?
I wouldn't say no.
Now that's a filmmaker.
Only you, Brian.
I know. We're getting everybody in there. Thank you so much, sir. Have a great time, ladies and gentlemen. Again, this is a great director out of Mississippi. His name, you will never forget, Steven Doran Kutos. Please look him up, and thank you. We'll be looking for his film, and it's called Stained Glass Psychic.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Best wishes, and come back anytime. Great interview. I'm really impressed. I really want to see his film when it comes out. I'm such a fan of the thriller.
It's awesome.
I know. We need those films. We need people like him to really. I miss those psychological dramas like Hitchcock and there's other directors who used to do great work. Until we
George
got so
is another one that did a lot of good stuff.
Which one?
George Stevens.
Oh, yeah. He did. Even what's his name, and I don't like him, the author, Stephen King. Stephen King has some great novels, which is more of a psychological thriller.
You know, his are better to read than to see.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But I think Stephen is going to bring us back to those days where we can use our imagination and get scared. And we don't have to use it. I mean, I'm just so sick and tired of these A-list films that are just... You walk through. I mean, Tom Cruise is walking through Mission Impossible. It's almost impossible to watch the movie. That's the Mission Impossible, is to watch the damn movie.
There you go.
You know, we need some good filmmaking. It's true. When we come back, we have another filmmaker. His name is Dorian Warren. Damien. Damien, what's wrong with me this morning? Kelly, you're here. Help me out. What's wrong with me this morning?
Brian being Brian. Oh.
No, I'm usually together. Damien Jade Warren. He's here to promote his movie, which is called... I'm hearing a lot of noise.
Stained Glass Psyche.
No, Damien's movie is called Hero Punk. Oh, yes. Callie just left. All by myself. Oh, there she goes.
Don't wanna be.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is Monday here on Brian Hammer Jackson Show. We'll be right back. We have for a commercial break. Our first commercial is from Max. And here's Max's commercial. We'll be right back.
You know, when I was a little boy, I loved going to the neighborhood fair. I could smell the hot dogs, taste the cotton candy. The best part was riding the rides. Man, that brings back great memories. That's true Americana. That was a real family event, you know, a family treat that we don't experience very often today. Well, I'm here to tell you, thanks to Max Ivy at the Midway Marketplace, we can experience that again. Max is a good old boy down in the deep part of Texas, and he knows how to bring back that experience. The Midway Marketplace, helping people buy, sell, and trade amusement, concessions, and confections and equipment worldwide for over 7 years. You can visit Max at his website, which is www.midwaymarketplace.com. That's one word, Midway. Marketplace.com. You can also email Max, maxwell@midwaymarketplace.com. And Max is such a nice guy, you can even give him a call. Call Max. Area code 979-215-1770. And that's area code 979-215-1770. When you contact Max, tell him Brian Hammer Jackson said hello. And keep up the good work, Max. Love you very much.
and that's Midway, MidwayMarketplace.com. Visit Max. If you do have anything like an amusement, like you said, confections and rides that you just don't know what to do with and you want to see if you can make some money and everything, Max has his listings. Go there. Again, it's marketplace.com and visit Max. Am I correct here, Diane?
It's MidwayMarketplace.com.
Exactly. MidwayMarketplace.com, one word. And mention Max. Thank you, Diane.
You're welcome.
Happy birthday.
Not yet, babe. I'm the third. I wasn't born on April Fool's.
Okay. You're still in your 40s. Hang on to it as long as you can. It's like running with scissors.
I only do that after I go get my blood checked.
Okay. Well, we're supposed to have our other guest, Damien. We have two other guests coming on. Damien's supposed to be here. Damien Jade Warren.
Oh, good. I was watching.
He's supposed to be here. And also we have Maria. And Damien is going to promote his movie called Hero Punk. And if I'm not... I don't know if he's doing a Kickstarter campaign or not. Kelly just dropped, so I can't. One of them is doing a Kickstarter campaign. I imagine it's Damien because the other person said he already has his thing funded. Let me tell you a little bit about Hero Punk. Let me tell you a little bit about Damien. First of all, Damien is half Thai. He's half Caucasian. He calls himself ethnic. Why can't I pronounce ambiguous in the beginning on a Monday? On a Monday, and I cannot pronounce ethnic. Okay, fine. Damien's also a non-union actor. He's in martial arts. He's a practitioner in martial arts. He's a fight director. He's a stunt coordinator. Thank you for any support, and I wish everyone health and growth in their journeys. And you can find Damien at casting.com/Damien, Damien, Jade Warren. Or you can look at some of his stuff on YouTube, which is YouTube. Let's not go there because I think that's his personal YouTube. Hero Punk, Damien in his own words. We created Hero Punk because we believe there are not enough dark, hard science fiction films in the world. We also want to do something with superheroes in the future. Hero Punk is a hardcore science fiction superhero that we believe the studios would never make. If you are a fan of Chronicle, Blade Runner, Dark City, and The Matrix, you probably like Hero Punk. If you read comics and graphic novels like Preacher and Transmetropolitan, we got to tighten up our reading script here. It sounds like I can't read, but I'm trying to put words together because things are breaking up. And Transmetropolitan, you almost certainly love Hero Punk. We are fans of those comics, and we believe it shows in our film. Style of Hero Punk. Hero Punk takes us to a place. Cyberpunk future. It is a combination of a style called dream punk or stem punk. You know what? I'm going to have to, along with a present which holds nanobots, bio enhancements, and gene therapy. Finally, we got the words back. The world stopped innovating on all public fronts sometimes around 2002, and the factions developed, which built weapons, vehicles, and clothes. They developed, which built weapons, vehicles, and clothes? I think that's clones. We have clothes here from other. I got a feeling clothes means clones. From other. Discarded items in the world. Maybe it is clothes. Because of this, the world looks like something between the 1800s and 2042, which modern weapons and clothes clothes again, combined with very intricately designed items. Clothes, huh? Okay. Well, there you go. In 1942, the government decided to eradicate any mutant abilities and eliminate any trace of superheroes. The Nazis and the U.S. worked together. Damien, I love you. Okay, the Nazis and the U.S. worked together to put mutants in concentration camps where they were exterminated for the greater good of the world. In 1962, the mutants' rights activists began to protest, and a new world government was formed, and its ruling body, the United Nations Council, outlawed lethal force against mutants. 1970, the factions developed with heroes on one side, normals on the other. German and U.S. scientists went to work synthesizing the enzyme to suppress special abilities. 1988, no mutants' abilities exist due to enzymes and airborne pathogens. All water on Earth is laced with harmless microbial enzymes. All air has pathogens. Hello. Diane?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, babe.
How are you?
I'm fine. I just got a message from Damien. He's trying to call in.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, Carrie.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm just peachy.
Yes, you are a little fuzzy today.
Not just today, every day.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, I think Alzheimer's setting in.
I think so, too. This is a good time to mention our sponsor, Lonnie Taylor. Lonnie Taylor has a book out, What's the Best That Can Happen? This is a spiritual book. This is not a book for religious people. This is a book for spiritual awakening, spiritual religion. Get to know yourself. Reach within yourself. Bring in the positive. Take out the negative. The positive will get you further. The negative will keep you back. It's mathematics. Positive, forward, negative, back.
Funny how that works.
Yeah. Reading the book with Lonnie Taylor these are the questions you probably ask yourself. Maybe you're 20. You're saying, hey, I'm 20. You know, I got to go to college. I have my decision. If I go to college or if I drink with the boys down in the shed, I could get pregnant or I can go to college and I can get an education. If you read her book, now you will go to college. Now that you didn't go to college, now you can read the book to the kid because you got pregnant. Then you get in your 30s. Oh, my God, I'm married. I've been married for 5 years. I missed the fun of my life. I'm going to the seven-year itch. Well, when a woman goes through a seven-year itch, what is that? What is that, Midol, or what's that Metamucil where they can put between there and make the itch go away? What is it, Carrie?
Carrie? Well, you took me by surprise.
The feminine itch. What is the feminine itch?
I know. I'm trying to think. God, I can't even think of what it's called.
Well, let's ask Diane. Diane?
Somebody else. I don't know. I
okay.
Don't use it.
Diane, what is the feminine itch stuff?
I don't know. I think it's vaginal.
Thank you. I mean, come on. It's not like you're admitting you have a feminine itch or anything. It's a product.
I think they're having trouble calling into the show.
Tell them okay.
They
keep calling in.
I'm going to have Jeff try the number and see what happens.
Okay. Well, okay. I knew we were going to have a little problem. So anyway, when you women reach around 30 and you start having that feminine seven-year itch, you can take your Vagisil or you can read a book. Manifest that. Too. Okay, here we go with the products.
It finally came to me.
Well, you have three choices, Monistat or Vagisil. Or you can read Lonnie's book because you're at the age now where you want to know what direction to go to. So you need that positive energy. You want to start that business. You want to make that film. You said, you know what? I always wanted to do a cupcake business. Well, don't just sit there scratching your feminine itch. Cure it by reading the book. Right, Diane?
Right. And Damien's here now.
Okay. Speaking of feminine itches.
Hello.
Hello, Damien. We're just talking about
you. Hey, what's up, Brian?
Good to talk to you, buddy. I got to do this one little spot. So don't forget our sponsor for today is Max Ivy with MidwayMarketplace.com. And Lonnie Taylor, get her book called What's the Best That Can Happen. Is a spiritual book, awareness. It'll get you in tune with yourself. It'll make you positive, get rid of your negative energy out, and achieve your goals. And she will teach you the steps to get there. And ladies and gentlemen, another celebrity who just came into the room is Mr. Damien. Mr. Damien has been a friend of mine, so I'm going to pretend I don't know him. But let me give you his background. Damien was my fluff buddy when I did porn films. How you doing, Damien? I know, he's going to kill me. That's the last time I go on that show.
It was bound to come out.
I know. Oh, boy. Let's get serious.
Addicted to you, isn't he?
Oh, you think I'm scared?
Yeah, really? Well, let's talk about this guy's a tough guy. I love him a lot. Damien, let me give you a little background. Damien has martial arts background. He's a fight director. He's a stunt coordinator. Damien Jade Warren, he's here to promote his book. He's here to promote his movie, Hero Punk. And Damien, you're going to be here with Alfonso, is it Godinez?
Alfonso Godinez.
Yeah.
And Jamil Punk. Yeah, my co-stars.
And Damien.
As well, and we all train together and act together, and we've been doing this for years together, so it's pretty special to be here together.
I'm glad you're here. Well.
Hey.
We got a very bad connection, Damien, a very bad, and I know it's Blog Talk does this all the time, so we're going to try to get through this. Damien, tell me about the film.
Okay, Hero Punk. It's a local independent film in San Francisco, all non-union, but very, very pro-minded and ambitious. 80% of it is visual effects and green screen, and it's a huge challenge. We're working with a budget of about $100,000, which is why we have a Kickstarter campaign now. We spent 55 making Act 1 and spilled over into Act 2, but we need about 42 more to finish the film. So our Kickstarter campaign, we're reaching for $28,500.
Yeah.
And we got 34 days more. We're just over $4,000, and we need some help because Kickstarter will match that. So anyone out there, go to Kickstarter, Hero Punk, look up Hero Punk and donate, or just spread the word, anything you can do. Share it, you know, spread the link, tell your friends. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's a huge world. It takes place in 2042, dystopian future. The world government is losing control. Different factions are formed. Neil here, he plays the leader of the resistance, Lane. The next bounty hunter. You want to tell us a little bit about your character, Junior?
Yeah, sure. So Lane is a guy, ex-bounty hunter. He goes out looking for mutants. He's got the conduit, which allows mutants to get powers back in their latent abilities. And I'm trying to go back there and stop Damien's character, Malvo, from getting... DeVoe, I mean, sorry, DeVoe. He changed his name so many times. From putting out this technologically advanced and what are you doing?
The gene therapy.
The gene therapy and stuff.
Technology experiments on the locals.
But that's pretty much what I do there.
Well, you know what? It sounds great because I love that. I love the mutant kind of stuff. I love the futuristic kind of movie. I love when they mix the futuristic stuff from the history stuff and you bring it into the future. I don't know if you know what I mean, David.
I do, actually, because this particular film, it doesn't just centralize. I mean, it's present in 2042, but the history goes way back. My character is much older than... is anyone believes, and you know that's found out later exactly how far that goes. But while this is going on Earth and everyone's squabbling, there's an alien invasion coming that my character knows about, but nobody else wants to pay attention to it, really. They're just now starting to face it, and they're scrambling. But I've been getting ready. So my faction, we know more than everybody else, and they think they know what we're about, but it's huge. It goes in all these different directions. It's a great story.
It sounds like it is. And I do have a trailer, and this is a trailer of your director, someone talking, and it's not playing for me. And it shows
the
your actors on a green screen.
The Kickstarter page?
Is that on your Kickstarter page?
Yeah, the Kickstarter campaign video.
Okay, I want to see that because I did watch it a couple of times. I think it's brilliant. I think
I posted it on your page. Thank you.
I've
got BTS clips and Kanan explaining, you know, our needs and what the film's all about. And our director, Kanan, by the way, he's going to be at the National Association of Broadcasters Convention in Las Vegas, April 5th and 6th.
April 6th.
April 6th, I believe, yeah. He's speaking and presenting Hero Punk. He's going to show scenes, I believe, of what we've shot and a lot of the behind-the-scenes documentary footage that Autodesk showed. They came down and shot footage of. If anyone knows who Autodesk is, they're a $9 billion company that helps with all the special effects in Hollywood and the studio system. We're also sponsored by Adobe, and we use one of the products called Smoke. I can tell you more about that, but I'm not that kind of geek. But we also been shooting on a green screen that's 1,100 square feet. And we also have a virtual team of 32 people around the world for the post-production process, which is pretty incredible considering this is just an independent production.
Right.
Total, we've got 35 people in the crew and 80 total actors, including all the extras. So it's pretty big.
Wow. Now, Damien is no rookie to filmmaking, and it sounds like your star of the movie is very polished. So, also, and Damien, we go into this. You know, we do this. We do this. What we call, you know, numbers and stuff. How hard is it, Damien? And I see you busting your ass every time on Facebook. I see you taking care of business. You will say hello to a couple of your fans. Hey, hello. I don't have time to see you. Come see my movie if you want to talk to me. But this is what we're doing. How hard is it to get funding and get the word out that you have a film and that we're going to put on Kickstarter? We need your help. I mean, it's just mind-blowing.
It's incredibly hard. Any artistic venture where you just need help and getting the word out is hard. But, you know, hopefully it propels you. You know, whatever you're working on, you're passionate enough that all that work, you just can't help it. I wake up in the morning and I can't help myself.
Yeah, it's really just a matter of if you're hungry or not for what you're trying to promote.
True.
It's a 24-hour-a-day job. It's something that becomes part of your lifestyle.
That is absolutely true.
Yeah, you just develop a habit.
And they don't understand that. And the reason why I say they don't understand it, I'll ask the same question to you as I did with our guest previous. You know, when you get involved and you're trying to make the money and you're trying to do a lot of things and you finally start casting, you have a limited bit of money because people don't understand. There's a lot of money going pre-production, a lot of money. And if you decide that you want to really go on location, the permits alone, depending on where you are, in California.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's nuts.
Crazy. And for this film, not just that, but post-production is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, huge. You had no idea. But, yeah, so, but go on. Yeah, we have a full understanding of that as actors.
Yeah. Yeah. And like,
we definitely take a back seat, but, I mean, we love this project so much.
Yeah.
And we live and die for it, and we can't wait to get those dates solidified and
start shooting again.
Oh, man, and get back to rehearsal and really making choices and getting the engine going. And we're always promoting and dreaming and working and sharpening our skills, getting ready.
You do. And relationships, forget about it. Forget about just trying to do it.
Yeah.
It's like if you're in a relationship going in pre-production, you will have 3 or 4 relationships by the time you're done. Because if you have a family, forget about it.
Well, I mean, you whatever fits in your life, you know, you put the work in. But those extra relationships, they tend to really
get in the way.
It's rare that you find someone who understands the time that you need.
They have to have true time management skills to do that.
That's true. And people, and you actresses, you got to understand that. I mean, we ruin our relationship. We get into alcoholism. We may experiment into drugs. And, I mean, would it hurt you just a blowjob, huh? Would it hurt?
That's too much, man.
I got to run, baby.
But then you get all that and pre-production, you're ready to cast. Okay, everybody loves you because you're casting now. I mean, as soon as you cast, you're going to get people like, well, I did this, and I did this, and I played an easy rider, and I did that. Okay, fine. We're casting. You look great. How much am I getting paid? When you hear those words, what do you guys want to do?
Well, I've never done casting, but I can imagine the situation if I were on that side of the table, and I heard that question.
Mm-hmm.
It would deflate the situation significantly, probably, because, I mean, I know as an actor and as a working actor, the question may run through your mind, but that's not where you don't ask that question. You would know ahead of time if that what the deal is, and if it's still to be negotiated, then you still go in and go for the role, and you use your craft, and you talk about it later, you know, when it comes up. That's not why you're there. I mean, you hope you get paid for your time, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
if that's all you're worried about, then your career's going to be short.
Yeah. You need to readjust your life if that's all you focus on.
That's true, because copy and credit has made people don't understand how valuable copy and credit is. Credit is your resume.
I'm happy to sacrifice, you know, a big paycheck if I know that a director has got plans to get it distributed and out there and hustle and do his other end of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of directors out there, they just want to make a film and they haven't thought about the other end. And it's like, okay, that's great, you made this piece of art, but what are you going to do with it now?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with it now? It does no one any good now. You can put it on YouTube. Okay, we can cross our fingers.
That's true. No. And that reminds me of a story. I always have little stories. And Vinny just came in. Hi, Vinny. Just one second. Reminds me of a story. I did an interview with a gentleman, I guess, 2 months ago, and I forgot his name. And this guy, you know, he's been doing it a while, and he has somewhat of a name. So he was saying, hey, Brian, you know what? I entered the film in and I say this story all the time, Sundance Film Festival. He even went to France, right? This is it. He goes, Brian, would you know that they had I'm thinking it's 300, but I'm just going to say this, 3,545, it has to be over 300,000, I know I'm doing wrong. He said they had over 300,000 films entered in the Sundance Film Festival. Only one out of 300,000 got a distribution deal.
Yes.
One.
Yeah, it's not the easiest thing
to
get. But are you at least, you know, factoring that in, making steps, you know? At least someone's working for you, you know? That's all we can do is you know, learn as we go and go in those directions that actually get this accomplished and out there. We have to be realistic. Even though it is a big artist endeavor, there's this whole business side.
Exactly.
You know, the art
and
if we don't worry about the technical logistics.
Yeah.
And here's another thing why these guys are nuts. Because Damien, and the other gentleman, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name.
Alfonso.
Alfonso, you got one of those radio voices. Hey, I'm Alfonso, take off your pants. But it's like, and Alfonso sounds like he's been around too. It's like these guys are not thinking about, okay, we're going to do this film, we're going to complete this film, we're going to raise this money on Kickstarter, okay, we got it. They're not thinking, okay, now we got to merchandise it, how much money we're going to make. I guarantee you, they're not even thinking how much money to make on this movie. They're thinking about promotion. Let's get into a film festival. Let's get into marketing. Let's get into distribution. They're thinking that before they're even thinking about getting paid. And reality is, they may not get paid for this movie for another year or 2 years, and that's if everything goes well. Am I correct, guys?
We may never get paid.
Exactly. They do it for the blowjob.
When you commit to the journey of acting as a career, you know, you just commit to being destitute.
You want to make good art.
Yeah.
You want to be recognized
as an
artist.
You worry about the money, you know. It'll kill you worrying about the money.
And would it hurt these actresses to come on the set and audition and give you guys a reach around just to say thank you for being part of the arts?
And it's nice to be saying.
Well, I don't know. Let's get the hell out of here now.
It makes
but,
me
nervous. Serious. So tell me again, where can we get the links to your Kickstarter campaign?
And well, where can there should be a link on your page, and there should be a link on Kelly's page, the Actors Media Breakdown Media Group. There's
right.
links on my page, Facebook, the Kickstarter. If you go to Kickstarter.com and just do a search on Hero Punk, it'll come
it
up. It should come up.
Okay. And Alfonso, it's a pleasure meeting you. Damien and I have been friends for a while. We can play and everything. And it's nice to meet you, Alfonso. And on a serious note, Damien is an actor as well as a filmmaker. And Alfonso sounds like he's going to be a filmmaker pretty soon, if not a star in his own right. Especially with that voice he has.
He plays my friend in this, so we're having a lot of fun getting to work in the field together.
Yeah, we've worked together in the past, and
that's out.
And we've created a dynamic, a type of synergy that we have that we created ourselves.
Yeah.
And we just bring that to the film, and it shows. It's just it takes an insane amount of trust to trust another human being the way I trust this guy.
Same.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah.
And I got to live with both of them.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. When you got filmmakers living and stars living together, it's like an animal house. Trust me. The guys are nuts.
I was taking a class with Fonz. I'm Jamil, by the way. I play Lane. I spoke to you a little bit earlier. I was taking a class. We were taking our acting workshop, Alfonso and I, and then Damien came. And then last April, 3 years ago now, the two rooms in my apartment opened up. And we're like, hey, let's do it. So we got together and did it. And now we all live together, but it helps our creative process a lot more because, you're talking about relationships and stuff, we don't have those outstanding distractions that a lot of the other people have in the workshop, because we're all focused, we respect each other's rehearsal space, we help each other rehearse, read, so it's real conducive to what we're doing and what we're trying to do and getting further on in this journey that we call acting and filmmaking and stuff.
Oh yeah, you're smart. You're smart. Because the worst thing, you know what kills a filmmaker? I'll tell you, budget doesn't kill a filmmaker. Marketing doesn't kill a filmmaker. A girlfriend kills a filmmaker.
Yeah, they could definitely add to it.
Many have fallen from
that.
Yeah.
So the three of us have been running at it for the last 3 years. Really, we're stuck together like butt cheeks.
Exactly. Exactly. One word. Oco no. Oco oh no. Greatest group. You get the girls in there and you just mess you guys up. Seriously. Stay away from the woman. The broads will weaken your legs and kill and destroy your minds.
Tell your priorities. That's all it comes down to.
You gotta do it. Like a filmmaker, masturbation is my friend.
It's all about focus. Widen that focus.
Exactly. That's why you gotta got two bedrooms, especially when you go in pre-production. Because you need your space in the toilet and you need your space in the bedroom. Because you just sometimes, do you find this? I do. I have to go, my best place when I do film production is in the bathroom. That's where I find peace. I actually go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody bothers
it's
you there.
It's often the only place you find peace.
I get you. Okay, the strip joints too. Okay, they know me. Alright, I love you guys. Come back, let me know. A Kickstarter campaign, give me something on your Kickstarter. What are you asking? What is the minimum donation here? $5, $1?
$1.
Minimum donation is $5, right? Yeah.
And, you can donate up to $1. Anything helps.
There's benefit for each level too. There's plenty of men. Even when you get into some of the higher ranges, you may even be able to win a walk-on role to the rest of the film because we got the whole Act 2 to shoot, or most of it.
Wow.
So there's room to write in the scene, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, okay, what does $5 get me? A walk-on role?
What does $5 get you?
So
no.
No, it does not get you a walk-on role. Let's find out.
We have to pay more than that to get the part.
Okay, so geez, $5. Look at you guys.
Oh, if you make $5, we will love you for it.
Yeah.
Okay. I get to take out your trash. Oh, here you go. On the mirrors.
And we will love you for it.
You still love me. See, there's love. You can't get love for $5 anymore. I tried. Now it's $25 an hour.
If you donate $10 or more, we will love you for it. Plus, a special thanks in the finished film with an access to the HD version as a free digital download for playback on your Mac, PC, iPad, or iPhone.
And you get a special tweet from Dana as well.
Yeah, our director will tweet you.
Okay.
Tweet
no,
you,
actually,
right?
That's cool. That's
he
cool.
Will tweet. He will tweet you. And, you know, just go to the Kickstarter page to find out how much better it gets. Because
yeah.
It's better with each level.
There you go. And if you're a chick, if you donate $50, you get to spend the night with one of the guys.
You just come to the house and spend the night with
the
The address is
right across the street from the. I think we got a bad connection.
Yeah, what?
Hello?
I can barely hear you, but I got the gist of it. You guys are fantastic.
I think
Damien,
right.
One more time.
Cool.
There you go.
Yeah, there's also, what level do you get the comic book storyboard? Because our storyboards are all really cool
yeah,
and comic
cool.
bookish, and he's going to put it together as a graphic novel. And if you donate, there's going to be a limited edition printing. And
oh, that's
it's
cool.
It's one of the higher ranges, mid to higher ranges where you're eligible for that.
Oh, damn, that's cool. That's cool. And these guys...
Well,
now, that is badass. I like that gift. How much is that?
And that'll be vintage when the film comes out because then you got the original drawings of what's going to be the comic. So that's a pretty cool prize right there.
And they only going to print 100 of these copies. So
wow. You realize if one of you guys get into a drunken wreck and one of you die, how valuable that is? That's
I
cool.
know.
I was thinking that if the movie ends up making better progress, that might make it worse.
We could capitalize on your death. That is fantastic. You can't get that on Kickstarter every day.
Yeah, right?
You guys are terrific. All right. Damien, you guys come back next Thursday. I want to see how your campaign is doing. We want to have another interview, and we're going to keep this up. Let me tell you how good we are. We are 4 for $4. A couple of people have come to us. Three people have come to us, and they said, Brian, we need help in our Kickstarter campaign. We did it, and they went over. We have not lost one Kickstarter campaign. We always succeeded.
Well, I'm glad to be with you, brother.
Yeah, yeah me too. Thank you.
Glad you accepted the challenge.
Thank you so much.
We're with you. Let me know what's going on.
We'll be in class next Thursday, but how about next Friday?
Friday we have business. You know what? It'll be a short one, but it'll be a business day. Yes, Carrie.
No Friday. Friday's business day.
But this is
okay.
Business.
How about Monday?
Monday's good.
Monday's good.
We workshop all the rest of the week, so
yeah.
That's when we got really earn our keep is in the workshops and studying.
Whenever you can, come on. Even if it's a short notice, you know, a day before, let Kelly know. Except for Friday, which is business day. Any day, I don't care who's on. You guys are in. I want to hear your campaign. How close are we so far? What is your goal, and how close are we to that goal?
Our goal is 28.5, and we're at 4,173.
Wow.
And we've got 34 days to go.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we've been up a week.
Hey, that's pretty damn good, guys. I say that joke, like I put my shit up there on Kickstarter one time. It was so bad that they called me back and wanted me to pay. They asked me to pay them for putting my shit up on there. It was so bad.
You owe us $5,000.
I know. Yeah. Whoa. Okay, listen, guys. We're going to get to that goal. We only got 30 days now, or 28 days.
Yep.
Yeah,
all right.
34 days left.
All right. So whenever you can come back on, let me know. We're going to see where that total
back
is.
Monday.
Okay,
Monday.
Next Monday. You got it. I want to hear that total. It's $4,000 now. Let's see if we can double that to $8,000 by the time they come back Monday. You can catch Damien Warren.
You
Yeah. Well, you can catch Damien on Facebook. Alfonso, I guess you can catch him on Facebook, too. Am I correct?
Yeah, you can. It's going to be under Alfonso Felix Godinez. So it's just Felix in the middle of my name to find me on Facebook.
Okay. Are you guys on Twitter?
No.
You guys got to get on Twitter. What are you doing?
I'm on Twitter. I'm on Twitter. It's JVon327. Or at JVon327. So that's Jamil Vaughn Twitter.
There you go. See, there's one guy that has the brains. The other guys are just a muscle guy, so they get the chicks.
Yeah. Well, guess what? I'm also the guy on the lease at the apartment, right?
Oh, we call him the producer. There you go. That's why he has the apartment.
So, yeah, you can find me at JVon327. That's at JVon327. You can also find me at JamilVon1@gmail.com, and then Jamil Vaughn on Facebook and all that. And we got a bunch of pages and links and all everything you need to find for everything we're doing, all on that stuff there.
You guys are great. Please do that. I want to hear this about Monday. We want to double this. Ladies and gentlemen, again, this is Hero Punk with Damien. There's a lot of people. Kelly, you did not even put everybody's name here. Now I feel I know Damien, and there's no Alfonso. I need other names in here. Wait a minute. Let me see. Wait, I think she did. Check this out. It's how good Kelly is. With Damien, Damien J. Warren with Alfonso Godinez?
Godinez.
Okay. And who plays Langley? And Jamil Vaughn?
Jamil Vaughn.
Jamil Vaughn. And leader of the resistance. Ooh. Look at you guys. You badasses.
I'm like a Morpheus and John Connors at the same time.
Collecting mutants.
Collecting mutants like Xavier Charles.
Oh, look at you. You got the nerd chicks. They just creamed in their pants. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming on. It's been a pleasure. I hope to hear from you Monday.
Thank
everybody,
you.
Find them on Facebook. The name of the movie, again, don't forget this name. It's going to be one of the blockbusters because I'm going to get behind this. It is called Punk. Wait a minute. Let me make sure I get it. It's called Hero Punk. Hero Punk. H-E-R-O Punk. Let's get behind this movie. Let's get it made. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir.
I'll see you guys Monday.
All
right. Have a good one. I love these guys. I love filmmakers. Speaking of filmmakers and actors and celebrities, I have one here, Mr. Vinny D. Bingo. And Vinny is pretty good at his own blog talk show. I can't talk today, but it's okay. I need rest. Vinny, welcome to the show. How you doing, my friend?
Brian. I've been calling you on a cell phone. You forget about it. They came to my house this morning. And knocked on the door. Vinny DeVingo? Yeah, Vinny DeVingo. You got a warrant for an all traffic beef in New York. Forget about it. They said, well, I'll be back by 3:00, I gotta have $1,000 United States postal money order, or we're gonna have to lock you up.
What?
I'm serious. You think I'm kidding? No, it's just a real deal. It's an old traffic thing I had in New York, and they knew my name. And forget about it. You say by 3:00, if I don't have $1,000, they're gonna lock me up.
How dare they do that on April Fool's Day?
Oh, you say April Fool's Day. Maybe somebody's fooling with me.
I think they are. They will not lock you up, Vinny. I would be there protesting till you get out of jail.
That ain't going to do me no good. I remember the last guy that had protesters about 40 years ago. He's still there.
The one of the longest protests in history.
Yeah, they started out walking, then they were crawling, and now they're in jail.
How you doing, my friend? So who's on your show today?
Who's on my... Oh, forget about it. The gifts I'm... You're going to really go crazy when you hear the gifts I'm giving away, but I'm going to tell them on the show.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Some of it has been leaked out, but Vinny's gifts are fantastic. I can't wait to hear it. Vinny shows at 1:30 Pacific Standard Time, 4:30 Eastern Standard Time. There's a lot of things going on, and I got to let Vinny know because he doesn't know. Well, we got the Vinny mugs coming out.
Oh, yeah, I seen them.
What do you think?
Oh, they're sharp, man. They're really nice. I gotta order a couple, man, because I like to look at myself. I'm tired of standing up looking in the mirror. So, I want to be able to, like, touch myself. No, I don't want to touch myself. But, no, they're really sharp.
You're out of control today. You're out of control.
The sun's out. Everything's good.
Oh, man. You got your mugs coming out. There's something else. Oh, Vinny, we're going to be playing a game. And I forgot to do it. I'll tell everybody later. That we want your show involved, too. We have a web series. I'll explain to you now since I didn't. So this first time Vinny's ever hearing it. Vinny, we have a web series. Not a web series. Carrie, are you here or did she drop?
Yeah. No, I'm here.
Okay. I pitched it to Carrie. It's a web reality show series.
Yes.
Right, Carrie?
It's actually a reality series that's going to air on the web.
Yes. And it's called Trailer Trash Wars. I'll get the more special effects in it. And Vinny, here's what it is. These people who do these movie trailers,
right,
it's going to be, they will enter this like a reality show. And each week, they'll be voted on. People will vote for the best trailers, movie trailers.
Oh, wow, that's cool. I like trailers.
Yeah, I do too. And you're one of the best actors around. You got a name. You've been with the De Niro's and you've been working with the Pesci's and everything. So what I want to do is this. They will be voting on these trailers all week. We will not tell them to vote. The vote will come out on your show and my show.
Oh, all right, that's cool.
And one of those people who submitted their trailers will go home, and the winner goes on to the next round.
Oh, that's cool. It's like a elimination thing.
Exactly. And they're going to come on your show. One will come on your show, one will come on my show, or we can do it both. We'll work it out together. They'll come on, and they'll hopefully it's your show if you want, because you're later in your prime time, that the three contestants will come on live, and you'll be like Donald Trump, you're fired, or you get the hell out of here.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and you can tell by the votes, by the some of the votes, who's going to go on to the next round, and you can, kick them out of the trailer park.
Oh, man, that's fun, man. I can't wait to do that.
Yeah, we're going to get everything together with the rules and everything, and on your show, they'll be able to come on. And you're going to decide what to vote. You'll have the votes and everything of how many people voted, who didn't make it, and you kick their ass out of there, Vinny.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's just Jersey justice, Vinny. It's just Jersey justice.
I got a lot of experience with trailers, tractor trailers.
Uh-huh.
And, but I like watching trailers. Trailers are nice because they get the whole idea in maybe a minute or two, and you got to be good.
You got to be good, buddy. It's got to be good. And this is and it's no joke. It's going to be a reality. It's a reality series, and the winners will come on air. Vinny, my cousin Vinny, the Vingo Show. And Vinny will tell them the results of the voting. And the person who did not...
I could just go to the site and look at the trailer, right?
Right. You can look at the trailer. You'll be able to see the trailer.
Oh, this is exciting.
And you will have the votes because it would be... the votes are hidden only to you. You could see the votes. I could see the votes. Kelly could. Carrie could. Diane and Jeff could. But nobody else can see the votes. And then... you'll be able to look at the votes, and you can tell who made it and who didn't by their votes.
All right. No, I can probably tell by the trailer, too.
Well, not necessarily. It depends. You can have a bad trailer, and they can have more friends than the guy with the good trailer. It's on voting.
Okay. Well then, all right. I can live with that.
But we'll work it out. I just want to say new things are happening, exciting things are happening. Don't forget to watch or listen to Vinny's show at 1:30 Pacific Standard Time. He has some excellent prizes, and he's only going to say this on his show. So if you're not watching the show, you're not listening to the show, you can't win. Right, Vinny?
Oh, no, that's just, that's the rules. I mean, you know, I don't see the Price is Right letting people peek behind the curtain, and it's like peeping behind the curtain if I don't.
That's right. That's right. I'll let you peek behind the curtain. There's really nothing there.
No, we really dug deep for these prizes, and people can appreciate it.
Hey, how was your weekend, Benny?
Oh, my weekend was good until I was making the corn, and I went to open another can of corn. I wasn't looking, and I put olives in the corn.
Oh, hey, actually, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, well, you eat anything. Not me.
Oh, well, thanks a lot. Jesus. Thank you, Betty.
No, well, I took up enough of your time. Do your thing, and I got to take a little cat nap, and that's it. You know what I mean?
All right, everybody, watch Benny. Listen, I keep saying watch because of the reality shows in my head. Listen to Vinny, my cousin Vinny, D as in De Niro, Vingo, 1:30 Pacific Standard Time, 4:30 Eastern Standard Time. Great show. He's going to announce the prizes. Fantastic. It's going to blow you guys away. Thank you, Vinny, for coming on, and I'll see you in about an hour, buddy.
All right, buddy. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And ladies
Bye-bye.
And gentlemen, that's the great Vinny D. Vingo. You got to watch the show. It's fantastic. Okay, we had a lot of guests. A couple of our guests did not show up. Okay, easy as possible. Stop it. Every time we get free booze, they come in the studio. Stop it. All right, let's see what time we have. You know what pisses me off the most, Diane and Jeff and Carrie?
What's that?
You know,
people
really,
not showing up when they're supposed to.
Exactly. Pisses me off. It pisses me off when we have a show and then I get, hey, I could be on Monday. And mind you, this is Friday. We're winding down. I could be on Monday and let's talk about this subject, stalking. I said, well, we basically have a show. Kelly's getting the show together, blah, blah, blah. It takes time to put the show together. It may not seem like it, but it does. People have to talk to me, and they don't want to talk to me. Ask Carrie, Diane, and Jeff. So we think about it. I think about it all weekend. I'm sorry, Jeff?
No, I said I listened to you on mute.
Yeah, no kidding. And so when I get people who say, and they're so-called friends, it pisses me off. Hey, Brian, let's do this subject. Okay, fine. Want to do this subject? Great. What's it about? Well, this subject is about stalking. I said, okay, fine. Let's do it. That sounds like a nice subject. Because I'm sure, and then I started to get more serious about it and started thinking more serious about it. And I'm thinking there's different types of stalking. We know the stalking as a person following you, watching you, blah, blah, blah. But what about virtual stalking? Is it really stalking when you have control to block a person, when you have control to change your name, when you have control of that? Is that still stalking? So, you know, it went into something very like a subject, stalking, but it can go into a lot of different things that can affect people's life. I said, okay, that's a good subject. Person said, fine. I even talked to her last night, I guess. Fine. And today's not fine. She's not here. She listens to the show, and it pisses me off. And I'll tell you why it pisses me off. It's because I could have had a longer interview with Damien. I could have had a longer interview with the other gentleman who I like, you know, both of these gentlemen I like. They're filmmakers. And these filmmakers, you know, their lives, you heard Damien and you heard Stephen, their lives wrap around this project, this piece of film that you may watch for 90 minutes. You may see it 90 minutes, and you could sit there on your ass and judge them for 90 minutes. But it takes years of their lives and sacrifices for them to put that 90-minute piece of work up there for you. And my heart is with the independent filmmakers. My heart is with them because I bleed with them. I was one. And
you should say you are.
You know about the project I'm coming up with. I love it. Tell them the project is fantastic, isn't it, Carrie? Don't say the name of it. But isn't it great?
Yes.
And thank you for saying I still am. I only say I was because I haven't really, it's been like 10 years, 7 years since I actually, you know, put things together and had that dream and that fire in my belly and that vision. But this one film that I really want to do, Carrie knows, it's an almost Oscar, isn't it, Carrie?
Yes.
It is so original.
Because I
want to
do it.
I want to do it, too. And that's the first time I ever heard you say that you want to do it with me.
Yeah, read into that whatever you want to, because it's the best you're going to get.
I know. Thank you. I'll take it. I just want to hear you want to do it. But it's when it's made, it's going to be the most original movie ever. It will be Oscar-worthy. Not even Oscar. Forget Oscar. It's going to be more than Oscar-worthy. It will be...
Pulitzer Prize winning.
Yes, it will. It will bring world peace. And it is just, you got to admit, the idea is fantastic, Carrie. I mean, I'm just oodle. I get chills when I... Even the title is amazing, isn't it?
Yes. And you know, and you just said, you know, that you weren't a filmmaker, and now you're talking about something that we just did as a, you know, a brief topic over the weekend, and you're getting all hot and bothered about it. So you can't fool a filmmaker and saying, I'm not a filmmaker anymore. Once it's in your blood, it's in your blood.
It's true. It is true. You're absolutely right. It's just so much. It's creative, but it's genius. It is pure genius.
And it's a lot of fun.
Oh, so. Yeah. And I'm very humble about this. So you can tell how passionate I am about my own project. So when Damien comes on or Steven comes on and they want to talk about their films, these filmmakers don't get enough voice time, vocal time to promote. And I got 10 minutes left because I sanctioned certain time for a person that says, I want to talk about this because it's an important subject. And it is an important subject. And they don't show, that tells me something about your character. Because apparently you don't think I'm worth it to show up. Or you have other things to do and it doesn't make any difference if you show up or not. Or apparently you think I'm a clown and I'm just ha-ha funny. Or you're fucking with me.
Uh-oh, and it's April Fool's.
Yeah, and I'm no fool.
Not.
I'm
hopefully
no fool.
Not.
Yeah.
No, siree. So, I'm going to live to be 103.
I play safe for you and me, because I'm no... Oh, boy, bro took me back. Oh, I love Jiminy Cricket.
You gotta love your Jiminy.
I gotta love my Jimmy.
And it gets prick.
Or Jiminy. Jim Jiminy. Huh, it kind of rounds the same. I wonder.
Who sang that song?
Chim
what?
Chim Chiroo.
Yeah. I wonder what that is. Your Chiroo.
No.
I like to read in between the lines. How did you come up with Chiroo?
Lady dies. He dies and it's the hole in your chimney.
Oh my God! It's just, you got a cheroo in the roof. It's your roof. What? Your roof? What are you talking about? Look at your cheroo. Thank you, Lady Di. Where's Diane?
Did you hear what else she said? She said cheroo is on fire.
Oh, that is funny. Cheroo. Your roof is on fire. We don't need no water. Let the motherfucker burn. Burn, motherfucker, burn. I like that. Your roof. I like that. That is funny. So anyway, it pisses me off that we allocated, of course I can't talk today, we allocated some time for somebody to talk about it, really, and this subject could be very serious, and they don't show up.
No, dude, it does blow when you allocate time. Mm-hmm. You got two already booked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, two subjects already booked. You make special time for a third, so one and two get cut a little bit short, and number three just blows you off. That's really screwed.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And it shortened other people's time.
Let's just talk about it ourselves then.
I'm sorry?
I said let's just talk about stalking ourselves then.
Well, Ashley, the subject is good, and I will leave that for tomorrow because I do want to do some research and stats on that. And I do want to get into the seriousness of it because I'm sure there's some crime stats on that virtually as well as, real life. Because she did bring up a good subject, and I'm going to bring in, here's another thing. See, you got to understand, these people are my friends that I'm saying this and I'm bringing them out here. So it's not like I don't know these people, and I'm bringing them out here. And another person I'm very disappointed in, and I'm not going to mention her name, but I've been building her up as my relationship expert. I counted on her, and I sent her a Facebook or whatever. I said, look, we have this subject about stalking, and it would be great for you to come on since you're a relationship expert. And she ties back, it'll be a bad day. Bad day. Let me tell you something, which is a bad day. There's never a bad day when you get a chance to come on the air and talk about your book and talk about your business and talk about what you're doing. And then come on the air and helping somebody who wants maybe stalking or anything. And remember, these are my friends. I'm calling out here, so I'm not pussyfooting around. That's not a bad day. A bad day is when you don't show up. A bad day tells me that I was going to promote you. But you know what? Today's not a good day. Today's not a good day. Tomorrow's not a good day for me to promote you either. And fuck, it's a bad day to be kicked off the AEN network. It's a bad day. That's a bad day. Because I'm going to tell you guys, I'm on here for you. And you expected certain quality people to show up. You expected a lot of people to show up. And you expected to hear some good people. And I tend to bring you good people. When they come on and say, it's a bad day, I can't do it, it's a bad day. Well, I'm having a bad day now. My bad day is your bad day. Diet.
Is now not a good time to ask for a little time off?
Oh, no. It's a bad day. But it is a good time to ask for a little time on.
For a bonus?
Got a bonus, yeah. Bonus features. Holla.
Holla.
So it's a bad day. So you two people who you know who you are, I'm going to have a very bad day. It's like my friend, I'm going to get medieval on your ass.
Going to get what?
Medieval. That's right. I'm coming for you.
What you want?
That's right. What you gonna do when I come from you?
Come from you or for you?
Probably from.
I'm having a bad day. Don't fuck with me. I meant on you.
Oh, that brings something to mind.
Yeah, I'm sure it does, bro. Oh, why would it have to be your voice that says that? That's really a bad day now.
I do what I can to help the misery.
That's true. Thank you so much.
Did you watch that thing on the cork suckers?
On the cork suckers?
Cork soakers.
What's a cork sucker?
Soaker.
Soaker? I don't even know her. Soaker? I don't even know her.
Cork soaker?
We're getting close to a word that we should not say. We keep playing with this word. And Diane's already giggling because she knows how close we're getting.
Kind of like Janet Jackson was, huh?
Exactly. What's a cork sucker?
It's supposed to be soaker.
Cork soaker?
Yeah.
What's a cork soaker?
Did you not get the little thing that Jeff sent you from Saturday Night Live?
No, I didn't. I got to look at that.
God.
He did send it to me, and I didn't have time to really look at it. And I got to start looking at my bro stuff because they're funnier shit.
You got to watch that. Then you understand about the cork soaker.
Okay. We're getting into 2 minutes of it. Here's what I want to say. I want to say thank you to my guests, our gracious guests, which is, I'm sorry, it's writer and director and producer Stephen Doran Kutos. Thank you very much, sir. Please check him out on Facebook. Friend him. They got a great project. It's called The Stained Glass Psyche. And also I want to thank my guests, Jade Warren, Damian Jade Warren. With Hero Punk. Again, that's Damian Jade Warren with Hero Punk, his movie. They got a campaign on Kickstarter. Please visit that. Support him. Give him $1, $5. Help the guys along. It's a good story. Jamil Vaughn and actor Alfonso. I want to say Gutinez, but...
Godinez.
Hey, at least now you know how to pronounce it.
Exactly. I want to thank all you guys for coming on the show. We're going into archives now. I want to also thank the people who did not show up. Thank you for not showing up because it just makes me realize that the people who really do want to show up and promote makes my show work. The people who don't want to show up, you'll make my I don't even need you around anymore. That's right. I don't. We only want positive people who really want to do it. There's so many actors who need a break. There's so many producers need a break. There's so many authors and books need a break. There are so many people, musicians need a break. There's so many people who would just be happy to say, hi, my name is Mr. Godinez. Godinez. That's all they want to say.
Oh, no, you didn't.
And we're going into archives now. I want to thank all you guys for coming on. We're in archives. We can loosen up our ties. We're also going to mention our sponsors again. We want to mention Lonnie Taylor with her book, What's the Best
That
Can Happen. Oh, we're still live. And Midway. MidwayMarketplace.com with Max Ivey. Those two, we still got them in. Please visit their website, MidwayMarketplace.com, and Lonnie, L-O-N-E-E, Taylor.com. Her book, What's the Best That Can Happen? You will be spiritually uplifted, and you will succeed in what you're doing. And get those negative distractions out of the way. We do need a book because there's so many distractions in our lives, especially negative people who don't show up. Who needs them? Okay, we're in archives now, guys. We can loosen up a little bit. We do get archives, so that means we're still alive, so watch your P's and Q's. We're going to do a new thing in archives. For people who made it through the show, we're going to do archives. We're going to kick back a little bit and give everybody a little can of refreshments. Here you go. Here's a can of wine for you, Carrie.
A can of wine?
Oh, yeah. Listen to the fizz of that wine. Listen to those grapes. Here you go, bro. Here's a can of wine. Would you like Chablis or white?
I want a Merlot.
All right, here's some Merlot for you. There you go, the ice. Oh, fizzy. Listen to those grapes. There you go. How about you, Di? Here's some wine. It's so fresh you can smell the feet. That's it. Put a toe in there. Oh, I make it fizzier.
It's way too skin.
that doubt in his laughter. He's like, oh, fuck.
What did you say? I didn't hear.
Well, you know, there is a party coming up. I said, just wait till you see what you're getting to drink.
Oh, jeez. Speaking of which, we're now in archives, so officially our show's over. So if anybody's looking, this is where we goof around and we say things we should not say because we technically know we're on air, but technically we know we're off. So things happen. Diane,
or technically don't give a rat's ass.
Shit happens.
Exactly. Thank you, Carrie.
Hey, did you hear about the guy that is making the new clothes so that a drone can't detect you?
Are you serious or is this April Fool's?
No, it was on the news this morning. Some guy has a clothing line, so when you put these clothes on, drones can't detect you.
What is it called, drone proof?
Exactly. It's called, this guy should be watched by Homeland Security, even thinking of this shit.
God,
well,
you know,
does he realize that the drones pick up on your heat, the heat that radiates from your body, and it's a sensor thing? It's not your clothes. It's your.
Well, no, it's the clothing that he made.
Mm-hmm.
The drone won't be able to detect the heat from your body if you wear these certain type of clothes.
So you're wearing basically a reflective heat shield. That's got to look lovely.
Oh, yeah. It's not going to be suspicious at all if anybody walks around in aluminum foil and a beanie. That's not suspicious at all.
Well, you know people used to use aluminum
to
reflect the sun so that you would tan better.
I guess you would. As long as the clothes give us Wi-Fi, who cares?
Right.
Hey, run over here. We need some more Wi-Fi.
It's not April Fool's joke. I just heard that this morning and just thought
seriously?
I wanted to.
Seriously? I got a feeling that wasn't April. I think you turned it off before they said April Fool's.
She probably did.
I think she did. Oh, wow, good story. I'm going to run with it. April Fool's, did she hear it? Nope, she's already gone.
I heard it, I'm saying.
Hey, Diane, you did say something about being 50 and starting to hit you. Let me tell you something. You know, here's the things that you got to look at. A lot of people in the world did not even make it. They didn't even make it to 50.
No, I know. I'm not having a pity party. Trust me.
I hope not. This is time for celebrating. You got two wonderful kids. You got a wonderful husband. You got fantastic friend Jeff there. You got a kitty and a dog. You got snakes and bearded lizards, dragons. You got a house. You rocked and rolled and rolled and rocked and all this time. You were attacked by a black person when you're 19 years old, sexually attacked. You can't get any better than this.
So the last one was the highlight?
Why not? How many white girls would say, I've been with a black guy?
And mind you, I was only like 15.
Well, there you go. And did he try to stick a finger or anything inside?
What were you going to say? Bless your little heart?
Well, bless your little heart. You're experimenting. You're ahead of your time.
Oh!
You know, the only Diane was the only white girl that had black power on her lips.
You know, I was going to throw away that table that the kids rolled on.
I know, I'm getting closer by the pool, am I?
Yeah.
It's not in it.
And Diane on our ass, she has power to the man.
You better bring Scuba here, brother.
I know. I just, you know what? Getting old is fun.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I was just, you know, just, I don't know, just this weekend it was just kind of playing on my mind.
It was. It does play on your mind. It's like you will never reach this. See, at 25, you said, well, I'll never do 25 again. Yes, I'll do it at 50 because that's 25 twice. But when you're 50, you don't want to do 50 twice.
No.
I mean, there's people who've done 50 twice, and look at them.
Hey, hell, shoot me if I get that old.
Yeah, and so, but the 50 is...
Hey, but you know,
yeah,
the new husband...
Jeff will
like
be right there.
Eight.
Okay, happy birthday.
You know, like, 100 nowadays is like being 80.
That's true. That is
and,
true.
And since she drinks Coors Light, it'll have to be a silver bullet.
That's pretty damn good, Jeff. You're right. You know,
I do what I can, dude. Just trying to help.
That is pretty funny. Let's think about good things at 50 you could do. I mean, now you're not responsible for your own farts.
I know. I guess not. Now I can start making my bucket list.
Exactly. And you could walk around naked and people would just say, poor dear.
Yeah.
It's dementia. Let's leave her be.
Exactly. Don't point, kid. She thinks she's not here. She thinks she has clothes on.
Oh, hell, I forgot that today.
Oh, yeah. Carrie.
Brian, she's wearing a drone suit.
Oh, jeez.
She's wearing a what?
The drone suit. So they
oh, the
can't
drone
watch.
Suit. Look at me. I'm fashionably correct.
I thought it was the Trump suit. I didn't know what that was.
The drone. You can't get me, drone. She'll be the
That's
only
right.
one in the neighborhood walking around in aluminum foil. Thinking it's an outfit. I'm fashionably. What's wrong with you?
What was that movie where the kids all put, like, Jiffy Pop bags on their heads?
Exactly. And then you're going to think that's a good idea now. You'll call it a space age afro, right?
6'4", 6'9", with the afro.
There you go. There you go.
Well, that's just like that kid that time that parent put him in that, in Colorado. He made
in the
that,
balloon?
Yeah, that balloon. Didn't it look like a Jiffy Pop bag flying across the air?
It did. It really did. It's like, come on, please. Did anybody really fall for that there was actually a kid in there? Did you ever think...
Well, he was in there, but he wasn't in danger.
I mean, everybody who had children know that a kid would be up on top of the thing. His head would have popped out, waved there or something. He wouldn't just sat there inside a Jiffy Pop thing. did we really believe there was a kid in there at all? Did anybody?
I did.
Did you really?
Well, you got to look at the source, brother.
Yeah. Howdy, Boo Boo lives. 2016, Boo Boo for office.
Howdy, Boo Boo gets married.
Exactly.
Oh, and she's of age, 11 years old.
Oh, my God. And where she lives, you're right. You got to marry her off now.
Before she's an old maid.
Exactly. Hey, what do you think about that? I'm going to ask you that, then we'll leave. What do you think about all the jokes about Honey Boo Boo? I mean, she is only, how old is she now, 10? Or how old is she?
Yeah,
old?
Like 7 or 8.
She's about 8?
Yeah.
What do you think about the late night people doing jokes about her when she's only 8 years old? I mean, serious for a minute. I mean, I've been hearing jokes about, what's her name, losing 100 pounds, and they always point towards Honey Boo Boo, and there's Saturday Night Live did the same thing. And what do you think about them attacking, even in funny, of an 8-year-old?
I don't think it's really fair.
I think it's
pretty sick. Hey, you know what? Her mom's nickname is Forklift Foot. That ought to tell you something right there.
That's
her
true.
Her name is what?
Forklift Foot.
That's her nickname. Because she had her foot ran over by a forklift.
You know, I just feel sorry for that poor little girl. I mean...
But, you know, that family is very loving, and that mom has done a good job with those kids, and all the money she's making is all going into trust funds. She doesn't want to upgrade her house, doesn't want to move. I mean, Jesus, their house sits right next to a train track. She doesn't want to move.
It's not train foot?
The thing they said, the only thing they bought was a used truck
for
the dad to get back and forth to work in.
I see. And what's the name of the father?
Sugar Bear.
I see.
How come that sounds
and,
so gross all of a sudden?
Well, it's not really. And Sugar Bear is very known. And people, when you have a kid, I guess, Honey Boo Boo call him Sugar Pops?
No, she just
no!
She calls him Sugar Bear. She doesn't. No, she only calls him Sugar Bear. She doesn't even call him Dad.
Okay.
But
wow.
Anyway.
But you know. Yeah,
boy,
trust
we
fund.
Carried one on way too long.
I know. Trust fund, believe me. They trust her and they get inside of it. It's fun for them to spend that money. She will not have that money.
Yeah, she'll be the next
to
be emancipated and then
yeah,
doing
she will.
Because she's broke. And
right.
Yeah, I just want to see when the day she turns 18 in 10 years, whatever it is.
Yeah.
What a freaking train wreck that's going to be.
Oh, forget 18. Just wait till she turns 13, 15, bro. That's when it'll start.
Actually, we'll see her on something or other where she's pregnant and married and divorced
yeah.
by the time.
Yeah.
They
oh,
the,
yeah.
Her, they're in their teens, and I don't even. Both of her sisters have kids. One's pregnant, and I believe the one that's pregnant that just popped her load was either 15 or 16.
You
see,
serious?
That's sad. That is
yeah.
absolutely sad.
No, I know. And you just following in her older sister's footsteps.
And they're all
yeah.
living together in one big happy house and showing the world that
morons can make money.
Say it.
Yeah, but, you know, it's funny. Who is the moron?
The
us
mother.
Watching that show. Making it popular. They're not the morons. They're just who they are. It's us can't get enough of who they are.
Well, I mean, I wish they would bring back the funeral people. I thought that was pretty funny.
You know what? I'm going to come over there. I was going to hug you. I'm going to throw you in the pool now.
You know that was funny.
It was funny, though. It was the funniest thing. They brought the guy out in the smoker. It was supposed to be the coffin. It was the funniest thing.
Because he loves his barbecue.
Yeah.
Everybody come up and give yourself a rib and dip it in the holy stuff.
Is that what they buried him in?
Yeah, smoker.
Oh.
It was a coffin shaped like a smoker, I guess. Or actually, was it a real smoker, Diane?
They just carried in a smoker because the guy liked to barbecue. That was his big thing. No, he was buried in a regular casket.
I'm surprised they didn't open up that smoker and he has a what do they call that stick in his mouth coming out of his ass and they turn it around as his basting. You know when they put a pig, what do they call it? A spit.
It's a thermometer.
Yeah, you know, go through his mouth and out of his ass and then they're turning it over and there's some flames
the
that come up. Yeah.
Not swallows.
Exactly. There he is. He loved barbecue so much he wanted to go out the barbecue way.
Hey, there's a new show. What's the dumbest thing you can be buried in?
I think I heard of that one.
I think
that's
the off of the Freaky Deaky funeral home place.
Oh, jeez. It's
oh, I guess
weird.
I was enough that I missed that.
Well, no, there's a new one because you guys said you're doing the thing called Trailer Trash or whatever.
Oh,
right. Trailer Trash Wars.
Yeah. Now there's a new one out called Myrtle Manor, and it's all
yeah,
about living in a trailer park.
Yeah,
Myrtle
I heard
Beach.
That.
In
exactly.
Myrtle Beach.
I seen that. Oh, my God. I did see that.
Really?
Yeah, I did see that one. I mean, I didn't see it. I saw the
I love the
of
tone
it.
Of doubt in Carrie's voice. She's like,
really?
Yeah. I saw the previews of that, yeah. And Diane can't wait. Yeah! Can't wait.
Well, you know, that Learning Channel has too many good shows.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
How fucked up society is.
It is. Is it a kind of mockery of what it actually is? Well, it's the Learning Channel.
Well, you know, they got those gypsies on there, and my big, fat American gypsy wedding.
Does it look like they're just throwing shit up there, Diane? Seriously, it's like they don't know what they're doing. They're not even looking at programming anymore. They're just throwing shit up there. What do you think?
Yeah, they are. I think. Yeah, they are.
It's just like
it's
a
cheap.
Dumb thing. Yeah, it's just like they even gave up on it. Here, that's what's the most bizarre we can do, you know? And
dude,
it just...
well, once they started with that Anna Nicole Smith shit on that channel, that
yeah.
channel's just nothing but trailer trash fucking garbage.
I know.
What channel's
yeah.
that?
The Learning Channel.
That's on the Learning Channel?
Yeah.
Yes.
Man.
I'm glad I'm dumb.
Oh.
You don't want to learn no more?
Uh-huh.
No, I done learned everything I can.
Y'all.
Y'all.
I done learned it all.
Yeah, I done learned it. I'm done with the learning.
I done given it all.
Jeez. Oh, that's too funny.
No, I always tell you, haven't you ever heard my favorite saying? Ignorance is bliss, especially
sure
in my
is.
Life.
It sure is. I don't know. It's just, I don't even watch. The only thing I watch, I'll be honest with you, the only thing I ever watch anymore is the news. And when there's no news, I turn to CNN because I might watch 2.5 Men. I like that.
Before,
after it's just ridiculous. After it's just, I don't know what's going on there with Ashton Kutcher. I can't stand what's his name's character with Ashton Kutcher after Charlie. I call it AC, you know, after Charlie. They made his character so gay now. It just seemed like he went way gay to his character, doesn't it? The brother?
Yeah, I don't like the new one. I always watch the old one every night.
Yeah, because his brother just looks like a dumb gay shit, you know? Like, it's like a victim. You know, at least he has some backbone with Charlie there, but, yeah.
When I figured out who Alan was,
right,
it made me watch the show more, because I finally figured out that he was Ducky in Pretty in Pink.
Yeah, he was.
And when I figured that out, I was like, oh, okay.
And Charlie Sheen was who? In Pretty in Pink.
Charlie Sheen was in Pretty in Pink?
No, what was he? I'm sorry. Was it a Breakfast Club?
The Breakfast Club was Emilio.
No, wasn't Charlie in there, or was it Emilio?
It was,
no, it was
Emilio Estevez.
No, Charlie was in the Breakfast Club. You are correct.
I thought he was.
At the very end in the jail scene.
Exactly. He was at the very, thank you, Jeff. He was in the jail. He was a little older, but he was in the jail scene.
Emilio was in
Was in Breakfast Club.
St. Elmo's Fire.
And Breakfast Club.
Oh.
Come on, just stay with the program.
He was with the Breakfast Club, too, and he was also with one of my best movies I love, with the Cowboys, and Carrie should know this, when he played Billy the Kid. What was it, Young Guns?
Young
yes.
Guns.
Yeah, Young Guns.
Yeah, that's all back in the...
They were both of them in that. The
yeah, it was a great
together
movie.
On that one.
When they were kids. And so was, what's his name, 24 guy, Sutherland?
Kiefer.
Kiefer was in there?
Queefer?
Queefer. That's my bro.
I don't know what that is.
You know what a queef is.
No, I don't.
Oh,
that's why your giggle gives it away. Diane, please tell her what a queef is.
What giggle?
Yes, that's why she's laughing her ass off.
You know, if I could laugh my ass off, I wouldn't be having the trouble with my ass that I am.
Oh, jeez.
It's not the ass, sweetheart.
No, it's what
let me get a sound of a queef.
Oh, shit. Stop it.
It could be the new web series, right, or a reality show.
Queef. Oh, dude, instead of Storage Wars, we can have Queefer Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, dude, we can roll this.
You know, it's about to happen. You know it's going to be.
Anyway.
ball the furthest.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay, I don't get that.
And then that's her beer pong.
Oh!
Oh!
Oh! You see, you think I'm bad.
I know. Queef pong. She invented queef pong.
And if you make it on the fly.
I'm so innocent, I don't even know what beer pong is.
Not a bounce it?
Beer. Jeez. Well, beer pong is where you have a ping pong ball, and there's cups of beer on the other side. And basically, you toss the ping pong ball into the cup of beer, and if you do, you get to drink the beer.
And if you miss?
Yeah, you don't drink no beer.
Oh.
Yes. Now, if you make the enemy, the other side of the table, drinks, if you miss...
They have to, if you make it, they have to drink, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
And
kinda
if
like
they
water.
Make it, you have to drink their out of their cup of beer where the ping pong ball went into.
From the queef.
Yeah, can you imagine?
I know.
He just went over the edge.
Yeah, that one just...
Yeah.
Carrie wants no part of this one.
Exactly.
Another reason not to drink. I can see it now.
But I want to play that one more time. Again, I saw the movie Kill Them Softly. Bro, you got to get to it. It's a more guy film and everything with Brad Pitt. He does a really good job in this.
He was watching that movie this weekend, and I think he first put it in. And in the beginning of the movie, I come walking in. All is fucking this, fucking that, fucking this. I go, is that a good fucking movie?
Who put it in, Dave?
Did you say they didn't fuck in it at all?
No, they didn't. It was just, it was actually a good movie. And
so
you know who else is in it?
Well, you know, Brad Pitt and good movie just don't mix as far as
I'm concerned. Actually, this is, no, Moneyball, I got to admit, Moneyball was kind of interesting. I like Moneyball.
James Gandolfino.
Yeah, James I can't pronounce
Gandini?
It. He was in it. And the other guy was in it. I like him very much. You know who I'm talking about. Goodfellas and Liotta.
Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta was in it. And it was some good acting in there. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, here's towards the end. But listen to what's his name? Our president, Obama.
You are a cynical bastard, you know that.
To reclaim the American dream and reaffirm that fundamental truth that out of many we are one.
You hear that line? Line's for you. Don't make me laugh. We're one people. It's a myth created by Thomas Jefferson. Oh, now you're never go with Jefferson, huh? My friend, Jefferson's an American saint because he wrote the words, all men are created equal. Words he clearly didn't believe since he allowed his own children to live in slavery. He's a rich wine snob who's sick of paying taxes to the Brits. So yeah, he wrote some lovely words and aroused the rabble, and they went out and died for those words. While he sat back and drank his wine and fucked his slave girl. This guy wants to tell me we're living in a community. Don't make me laugh. I'm living in America, and in America you're on your own. America's not a country. It's just a business. Fucking pay me.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the bird and bees.
What do you think? Isn't that one of the great speeches at the end?
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I just like it. Now fucking pay me.
See, there's support in that movie.
Yeah, there's some fucking. There's Brad Pitt fucking. But... That's great, and that's what's happening with America. A lot of people are thinking we sold out. A lot of people think it's corporate America now. It's no longer the fighting for the free our land or liberty. It's more or less real estate and money and takeovers and who can get rich and who can kick out the poor. What do you think?
Pretty much.
Exactly. It's a shame. What happened to our country? politicians have ruined it. Money have ruined it. This super PACs saying you can put all this money in, and money. Corporations, oh, the banks are too big to fail. Put money in there. This business is too big to fail. No, they're not. Put money in there. If they fail, why are we putting money in it? Shut up.
Hey,
I like to
have that. See who the Raiders got for a quarterback?
Who?
Matt Flynn.
Who?
Matt Flynn.
Who's Matt Flynn?
Seattle.
From Seattle.
Oh, I never heard of him.
He was decent. I believe his college was Indiana. He's white boy gunslinger.
You know, the Raiders pick up junk, like it's a junk pile. If they can't make it anywhere else, the last stop is the Raiders. I will give you to the Raiders.
Oh, no, that's got to be the Cardinals.
Yeah, they have the same, ever since Warner left with the Cardinals.
The next thing you know, they're going to pick up.
Got a new show coming out?
They're going to pick up Sugar Bear.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Sugar Bear.
That's the line, right?
That's the kind of people they pick up.
Yeah, it is. That is true. And that is true, bro. That's exactly true. And what did they say, Carrie? Warner has a show coming out called what?
Yeah, Kurt Warner has a new show coming out. It's on USA Network.
He's a religious thing.
Oh, God, what's it called?
I bet you it has something to do with Jesus Christ.
No, it's like Second Chance or something like that. You know, people that wanted to, you know, be career or whatever and never made it, he's given them the chance to, you know, work in that job and see if they get offered a position. Like one of the stories is about a lady that wanted to be a photographer for Sports Illustrated. So Sports Illustrated lets her go on a shoot. Then they decide if they're going to hire him or not.
But you know what? Do I care? I keep looking at these series. Do I care?
Hey, it's reality TV.
Yeah. Would you care, though, Carrie, watching other people get a second chance?
No, not unless it's me.
Exactly. I mean, I feel the same way you do. I mean, I hate to be those rah-rah, I'll be a good sport. No, I don't want to see that one guy who won the lottery in my hometown. I want it to be me.
Yeah, the guy in New Jersey that just won that $380-something million.
Right.
As he got nailed for back child support.
Yeah, but only $28,000. That's just like that's just interest.
Well, that's not even interest. That's wipe ass.
That's it. But yeah, but now she gets her child. You know what she's going to do. You know, and what Diane will do and what Carrie would do. They're going to take his ass back to court because he's worth a lot more now. His ass.
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
If they were married.
You know what? If you've got somebody that is an ex, they're an ex for a reason.
No, but this is child support. But this is child support. This is not alimony. This is how your children.
I would go for punitive damages because of all the years I had to go without it.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
you're getting all that back, the $28,000 back, but you know he's worth a lot more now. You wouldn't take him back to court and adjust your child child support? Because these are about your children and living in a better neighborhood, maybe a better house.
But I don't need a better house.
They still can't do retroactive to what he makes now. That's all in the past. Once you get caught up, you're done. They can't punish you for what you have now.
They can't.
Right.
You can't go back to court and adjust it.
That makes you look cheap.
But I understand.
No, she's
it.
Only entitled to what he was ordered by the court to pay that he didn't pay on. So that will equate to the $28,000.
But that's what he was worth before he became a millionaire. That's how they came to that.
Even though he's a millionaire now, she cannot go back and say, I want to adjust the child support because the kids are already over the age of 18.
And
they
there's
are.
Already a judgment.
Even if they weren't, who cares? I mean, why would you? That just makes you look cheap and, you know, you're after the money. And it's like, you know, why would you want somebody to think that of you? I wouldn't.
I would
rather be far more, you know, thought of as an upstanding person as, okay, they won the lottery, good, keep it, go away.
Well, not me. I would, if I was, and I'm talking, it's not even a woman anymore. It could be a guy who's a single dad and he's struggling. His wife is now maybe a movie director or whatever. She's making money, traveling all the world, work living hand to mouth. And when she was just a photographer, owned her own business, that's what this child support we're getting, $28,000 a year. Now that she's broke a million, you know, gold with a movie, and she's worth $20 million. For my kids, I will take her back to court and adjust that, so my kids can have a decent place to live. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
And they would laugh their asses off.
I would do it anyway. This is his kids. He's not taking care of his
kids. Teaching the kids the wrong way to go about it.
Let's teach them how to be standing
and take care of yourself instead of getting it the easy way.
Let's teach all the kids to be gold diggers.
Well, why not?
Right. Those are his kids.
Why would I do that? And these kids are entitled to what he earns. These are his kids for life. Why not let them be taken care of and living in a nice...
And enough to give it to them instead of being made to do it through the courts.
Exactly.
I don't know.
And B, once the judgment is made, dude, it can only be adjusted.
She take my money where I'm in need. Yeah, she's a trifling friend indeed. Oh, she's a gold digger. Way over town. That digs on me. She kill me, mommy.
Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger. But she ain't messing with no broke niggas.
I would never want to be put in that category. I would not want anybody to think that I was ever low enough to do that.
I don't care what they think. If my kids are playing in a bigger pool, bigger house, nicer yard, bigger schools, better schools, a bigger chance to get an education and a chance to achieve in life, and if it takes that, I'm going for it. It's not about an alimony. It's about what is due and what is right. And if his kid's suffering while he's sipping champagne in France and traveling and blowing it on a hose and whatever have you, cocaine or child abuse and jet setting, and his kids are living in trying to struggle in a middle class neighborhood and in a bad school and crime ridden area, why not? For the kid, it's not alimony. It's child support we're talking about. The kids.
And it's back child support, and they're all 18. Once they're 18, you can't get no mo.
I don't know about that. I think they. Yeah. See, when Jeff goes blank on me, that means the show's over. Hey, bro. Can't get no mo.
Can't get no more. Anyway, I got to go.
Larry, or Curly.
I got work to do.
When he does the Three Stooges, you can't get no Mo, Larry, or Curly.
Or shit. I got to go, guys.
I got to go, too. Hey, thanks for being on the show. Sometimes we forget we're in archives. Brian and Hammer Jackson and Diane, take us out, please. Thank you, Carrie. Thank you, Diane. Thank you, Jeff. And thank you, Kelly. Diane, take us out with one song that you would love to hear.
Well, she just said it sounded like we were having a three-way.
Like a conversation.
We were conversating.
We were conversating.
Yeah, there he goes. See, he pulls that all the time.
What song would you like us to go out of? And happy birthday early for Diane, Mira's Dylan, Part D, April 3rd. Jeffrey, when's your birthday? April what?
The party is April 6th. Her birthday is April 3rd. Mine's the 27th, but I'm going to be out of town, so we're just finding them. Why not?
And happy early birthday, Jeffrey, April 27th, but the party's April 6th. And Diane, take us out, please. Thank you guys for coming on Brian and Hammer Jackson Show.